From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we launch our 21st year on the air. We're joined by Donna Pineda. Donna, did I say that correctly? Very good. Thank you, Donna. And Father Michael Kiernan, good to see you both. Father, good to have you with us.
Wonderful to be with you, Bob, and of course all our listeners. Always a joy to connect with the wonderful people who listen to Catholic Radio. How big a part of the diocese, by the way, is Catholic Radio covering now? All around Sacramento, of course.
Well, I don't know how far the signal reaches, but we do get people contacting us from the North State, from Redding and that area. So a pretty good reach.
Okay.
And it's also on in a station in Stockton, so it goes south. That's outside the diocese.
Yes.
But we have
a friend down there, Bishop Cotta,
and
so he needs to hear Catholic Radio from Sacramento.
We used to interview the late Bishop Blair.
Yes.
Every now and then, just so he could give us an update on what was happening in his diocese, mm-hmm. and we've done that with Bishop Cotta since he took over several times as well. Both of them were just delightful to talk to.
Oh, indeed, yes. Well, the reason I asked was I'm going to be in Reading this evening for a big Magic of Christmas fundraiser for Northern Valley Catholic Social Services.
Good.
I had Reading people and that northern state in my mind, so greeting to all of you. Wonderful people, wherever you are, north, south, east, or west of Sacramento.
It's quite the diverse diocese in terms of not just population, but in terms of how big it is, but also in terms of, I mean, you look at the occupations and the preoccupations of people way north and way south and then all the way to the Pacific Ocean and all the way to Nevada. It's a really different group of people. One size does not fit all in this diocese.
Yeah, somebody said that there's six different climates in California, but I think there must be two or three even in Sacramento in our diocese, because if you look at Vallejo and Fairfield area, it's very different. Then you have the high country, of course, Tahoe and Susanville and Modoc and Siskiyou and all, and then you have the Hutt Valley from here to Redding. So at least three there that can encounter at any given day.
You know, you get up on the east side of the Sierra, whether it's Susanville or especially up into Alturas and Tule Lake and places like that, you're into the high desert, and that's a separate climate because it's so dry.
Yes.
You know.
That's a good point indeed, yeah.
You know, you get up to Lake Tahoe, they're still they still have the influence of the ocean. That's why they get all that snow because of the big storms. But But you get up into Alturas, it gets cold, but they don't get the same amount of snow you get, say, at Lake Tahoe.
I spent 4 years in Modoc County.
Yes.
In Alturas.
Yes.
And then Cedarville. And Eagleville.
Yes.
Cedarville. Lake City and Fandango Pass.
Those were missions,
those
right?
Those were all missions.
Yes, right.
So Fandango Pass.
Fandango Pass. I like that name.
That's a great one. And Fort Bidwell.
Fort Bidwell, yes.
Fort Bidwell was an old army base.
Right.
And there was a fellow called Paul Chapman who was in Reading, and he told me that when the Japanese, the word came in that the Japanese were going to attack Fort Bidwell.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said, well, if that's as good as their intelligence is, that they think it's worth attacking Fort Bidwell, we got this war won. So that was way back, Fort Bidwell and the people of Modoc.
And, of course, we had the internment camps at Tule Lake.
Ah, yes, indeed.
And I know the Crocker had an exhibit a couple of years ago that we went to and with the kids, and just fascinating stuff. You know, one of those dark chapters in American history. And looking backward, you know, we all feel terrible for what happened, and yet at the time, the people doing it thought they were doing the right thing, you know, and indeed it's a dark chapter in American history.
You know, that's a great point, because in the times that we are now, in a variety of issues, it's easy to think, well, you know, we're doing the best we can, or we're doing the right thing, or this seems to be a good thing to do. Right. Maybe 10 years from now, 40 years from now, we look back and say, how in the world did they do that?
Exactly.
So it's certainly important for us, as the church encourages us on all the life issues, to ask ourselves, hold up a minute and examine your conscience and see, is this just a smooth political thing you're doing, or whatever it might be to get advantage? But where is the principle behind it? What should we really be doing? How can we do the right thing? And sometimes you have to go against the grain to do that. So I think in every age we have to have a number of people, hopefully a lot of people, but not always enough, to do that and to say, why are we doing this? As an old pastor of mine used to say years ago when we'd be doing something, are we doing this for some good reason?
Yes.
So I think the society needs to ask itself that in regard to a host of issues.
I mean, and it's unfortunate the political divide we see in our country today, where I get the sense that both sides, as they are afraid to break rank at all, because it will give the other side an advantage, and as a result, you don't have that real interchange where somebody within the whatever the prevailing party is says, no, this is not a good thing. We shouldn't be doing it. I know that makes me sound like I'm on the other side, but I'm not on their side or that side. I'm asking for common sense here. And I think that once you get that real divide, it's hard to negotiate, to compromise. We're seeing less and less of that. And as a result, it's pretty obvious. We don't do much politics here, but we don't take sides, certainly. But to see the kinds of issues that the Catholic Church is very concerned about, it just seems like everything's gridlocked now.
Mm-hmm. And a great challenge even within the Church itself, as the bishops are often talking about, is, you know, how do we balance things and how do we look at the whole picture and so on.
Right.
And that just because you see things one way and I see them another, you know, let's try to dialogue and see.
Yeah.
Somebody said that some of the Supreme Court justices would be considered right, and then others are left. But in their personal relationships, they have very warm relationships.
Right.
I think it was Justice Scalia and Justice Ginsburg.
Yes,
they
very
just
close.
Have dinner, and I think go to the opera or some of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, again, I think that's something that we probably need to be looking at in our society, not easy to do, but that if you're very opposite to me, can I maybe make a special effort to connect with you, as opposed to just sticking with my friends who all see things the same way as I do, and you're sticking with your friends who see all the things the way you do, and then we don't communicate.
Yeah,
so.
It's become almost at times where, depending on which part, it's almost like they're I hate to use the word enemies, but the way they treat each other now, they say pretty bad things about each other.
Of course, good thing about it would be that a good friend of mine, a priest, said years ago that sometimes this country will drive you crazy, but it'll never bore you.
It won't bore you.
And so it's amazing also how things change and what is in place. You know, now, who knows, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, America is always churning and changing.
Yeah.
And so by God's grace and providence, we'll hopefully the church can have the influence and present the message of Christ and then be a leaven in the society to help people to see just beyond maybe their preconceived ideas or narrow vision. So that's our hope.
Yeah, indeed. And the Catholic Church does not fit very well into either political party. So on some issues that they would define us as being far to the right, and on other issues they would define us as being far to the left.
Yeah.
And yet we see it all as, no, this is the straight line of church teaching.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things we believe. We don't care if they fall on the right or the left or who agrees with us or who doesn't agree with us. When you are hopefully speaking the truth, you don't compromise it.
I think one who does that very well now is just retired Archbishop Chaput.
Absolutely.
Who really has an ability to, you know, whether it's on the abortion issue here or death penalty or any of the issues,
right.
He's able to say, well, we got to stand for the whole thing from A to Z.
Well, the old,
and if you're mad at me on one or two of them, I'm sorry, but
the old seamless garment that Cardinal Bernardine talked about. Well, and those are two very good examples. If you're pro-life, oh boy, you're way to the right, and if you're against the death penalty, oh, you're way to the left. And for me, those seem like they spring from the same issue, mm-hmm. which is respect for life. That only God is the creator of life,
indeed,
and only God can take a life.
Yeah.
And I remember being part of the civil rights movement in the mm-hmm. 60s, and you know, marching arm in arm with people and singing "We Shall Overcome," and
yes.
feeling pretty good about myself.
And you were out at age six.
Age six, yes. So many of those people ended up being on the pro-choice side.
Yeah,
and I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were fighting for people who were vulnerable and underrepresented and everything else as part of the civil rights movement. And so many of them went that way, and it stunned me. I thought, wait a minute.
Well, it's a challenging time indeed. Yeah,
it is a challenging time. But, you know, and of course, we are going to be facing an election year in less than a month. And the bishops have updated, I guess, the faithful citizenship. Which is a good thing.
Well, November 20 will be here before we know it, so we have to have 2020 vision.
2020 vision, yes, yes.
And see
the optometrists are very happy about the year 2020.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Donna, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm just a parishioner of the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament, and I guess I'm here really just because I help Father with the Catholic viewpoint, faith, hope, and love. And
yes.
So I'm involved in that and ministries at the Cathedral.
Is he difficult to work with?
Well, he paid me a fair amount to say. No, it's really a joy. And the variety of guests that are on there, it's really a joy to be part of it. And
tell us about it's a TV show. As I was explaining, I've been in all parts of the media for a long time. Print journalism, we're down here. And then the radio is next level. And then the TV guys, they're special. I remember during my sports writing days, you know, you'd be trying to get a quote from the coach, and you've got your notebook and your pen, and you're trying to write. And these TV guys, man, they just bust right by you with their big cameras and you know, like, get out of here. Who are you? You're print journalism. Forget that, you know. So you're a TV guy now. Yeah. So Donna, tell us about the show.
Well, I think really Father should probably tell you about the show, but it's a half-hour program on SAC Faith TV channels, and we also have it, of course, on YouTube and mm-hmm. our website,
right.
Catholic Viewpoint, FHL.com, so anyone can find all of the shows there. It's a beautiful sort of exchange. I'm privileged in that part of my job is doing a bit of the editing, so I get to really listen to all mm-hmm. of the interviews, and often there are beautiful exchanges when people talk about something very close to their heart about faith and their love of God, and so it's a great, you know, a great way to spend half an hour, especially if you're in a home that has a TV on all the time. You should really tune to our channels. It's four times a week, it's kind of gives you an opportunity. I consider it kind of a blessed privilege to be there listening to all this and be part of it, see how people are all part of this whole, as, you know, Fathers often, you know, we're all one and at the same time part of the whole. So anyway, it's a joy to be part of it.
How do you pick your guest list? How do
I
you...
will give the... I will let Father Kiernan.
Well, no, we're really not picky. I mean, we've had... We've had Bob Dunning on, so we really are picky, I should say.
You told me the check's in the mail.
yeah. So we choose people. The whole goal of the show is to talk to people who are normal, regular Catholic people, though admittedly in some positions of responsibility in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So like yourself, we had you on because of that. We've had John Watkins, for instance, speaking about Catholic Charities. We've had many other people here from the Too Many to Number, but Cheryl Tolke was on recently, and she was talking about the important matter of marriage and then what happens when things go wrong and annulments and so on, which I think was very interesting to people.
She's the head of the tribunal.
She's the head of the tribunal here along with Father Richards. And then we had last weekend, we had Sister Jenny, who has just moved, or was just moving at that time from the cathedral back to Albuquerque, and her successor here, Sister Lisa, at the cathedral. So the two of them were on, and they talked about their life as sisters and so on. And then we've had Father Matthew Spencer, who is on the Catholic radio here all the time.
Very popular.
And we've had Father, the Jesuit, Robert Spitzer.
Oh.
And we've had a sister, Saint, I suppose you could call her a sister, but anyways, is Teresa, the principal of St. Francis High School. And very many. I mean, we've had about 70 shows now. And as Donna said, they are on a TV station, which is, it depends on what your carrier is. You'd have to look at that. But anybody can get it on YouTube. And all you have to do is just put in, basically, Catholic Viewpoint. I think if you even put in my name, Michael Kiernan, then it'll lead you. And people who are familiar with that stuff can find anything. So if they get a hint even, they can get it. So
I just asked my son to do it.
Yes, yes. We get second graders to help and all that sort of stuff.
They're born with it.
No. Yeah. So it's a beautiful thing, and we hope that viewers or listeners, that you can enjoy it. And as I say, it's people talking about their own faith experience. And like, for instance, when you were on, you talked about, you know, your growing up and experience of church and various situations in your life since then and so on. And it's not really intended to be a great theological teaching in the sense we're going to sit down for half an hour and talk about, you know, any particular topic. But that hopefully when you're on or anybody else is on, you're able to share. And then people listening to it can will resonate with them, and they will say, oh, yeah. And also that hopefully what will happen, that was my goal anyway in this whole thing when Don and I started it, was to let people know that everybody's story is important. And the people in our pews, you know, we keep saying that the church is the body of Christ. It's not just the bishop or the pope or the priests, sisters. It's yourself and everybody else by your baptism and so on. So that all our listeners, whether you're listening folks out in Tahoe today, or you're up in Reading, or you're in Stockton, you know, you yourself have been blessed and given this gift, and you have your faith, and hopefully, you know, if God wanted you to be like anybody else, he would have made you, and that's the beauty of our, no two people are alike, and so none of us have to do what the other guy is doing, but we have to live our faith, and as the scripture says, to whom more is given, more will be expected. So that's what the hope is, that if people look at this. You talk today about, you know, the nuns and all of these people who are not. But many would say that there's a lot of spirituality in people today. And our hope is that if you are out there not knowing much about your faith, or maybe you've dropped out or you're not practicing, but somehow you see one of these shows and you listen to, for instance, I think particularly of Rita Spillane, who was, when she gave her testimony, talked about her faith and what it meant to her and so on. If a person listened to that, it might reinvigorate them and encourage them to get deeper.
I agree. When you mentioned Rita, we had her on the program shortly before the Red Mass. And she was the master of ceremonies for the dinner afterwards, the St. Thomas More dinner. And she just... she's so inspirational, but so down to earth, you know, and hearing, you know, quote unquote, I mean, she's not ordinary, but ordinary people doing extraordinary things like on your show is very inspiring to, you know, sometimes you hear about the lives of the saints, or you hear about what the Pope is doing or a bishop is doing, and you go, wow, I can't live up to that standard. But then you see somebody that could be your next-door neighbor doing extraordinary things, and it's very inspiring. I know every time I go to the Thomas More dinner after the Red Mass and hear whoever's being honored that year, it's just like, wow, all the things they're doing. And they have a real job out in the real world, too. Yes. And they have families. But they're not using that as, I'm so busy, I can't do anything but take care of my family. Or I'm so busy, I can't do anything but my job.
And of course, the hope is that people would realize that their job is also their faith.
Exactly.
And when what you're doing here, it may seem like a job. You're just interviewing people, right, and you're running the show, right, for the bishop and the radio. But hopefully the people you have on from day after day, year after year, enriches greatly. And that's your job. And this is important. It's your job, right, as the bishop and his job.
Right.
So each person is doing their thing. I was over the other day at a care home visiting an old lady that I've known for a long time. And somehow it just struck me. The staff there, the work they do, and the work they have to do, and helping these people into bed and out of bed, and all the care that they have to give, and so on, that is enormously holy, beautiful, blessed work.
Yes.
And I always think of a conversation like this. Years ago, we had a priest giving a presentation on stewardship and how we live our faith and so on. He was down in St. Anthony's at the time, visiting from Duluth. And he talked about how he was preaching on one Sunday back in Duluth diocese, and this fellow is down three or four pews down, and he can tell, this guy is looking at me sort of strange. I'll hear from him later. And, you know, we often think of that when we're preaching, because if you're looking up, it'd be sort of, So he did that, and so, fair enough, the guy came over to him, and he told him, he said, well, Father, he said, your talk today, he said, changed my whole life. He said, I've been a doctor for all these years. He said, I'm not Catholic. He said, not particularly anything. But he said, I come here with my wife to church, come all the time with her. But he said, you know, I never got too involved and didn't mean that much to me, but just to be with her,
sure,
and so on. But he said, I'm a doctor, and so I've done all sorts of doctor things, you know, operations and healings and births and all these. But he said, I always thought that was my job. But he said, you have really shook me up, he said, and to realize that this is my vocation, this is my call, this is my job in the Lord. And so he said, now what am I going to do? And the priest said, or CIA for you, Buck.
That's right.
First thing.
That's right.
And he said, I will.
Wow.
And he kept in touch with him, and the guy went to the RCA there at the parish, and so on, so on. So the rest is history. So I think that's what the church is really, and so badly needed today, because if we don't have that, I mean, many would say that the laity are going to be the ones who are going to renew and restore the church by the day-to-day activity of living the faith and all the challenges we have today. So if it's Cardinal or St. John Newman, now the great new saint that we have, the Englishman, he was an enormous promoter of the role of the church as the whole people of God.
Sure.
And so some people didn't like that very much, and they wanted sort of the church to be the bishops, the pope, the bishops, and the priests, and so on. And he said, well, okay, if you want to have it that way, he said, but if you have, there has to be a role for the laity, because the church would look very silly without them. And so I think that is so important to have that everybody has their gift, and all the great saints, of course, were normal people like yourself, and you have you. Many of you little saints budding now. You have five or six.
Six.
So you're training them to be saints.
Yes.
And they'll
they're
be.
They're already saints.
They are. And they're going to grow and grow and grow in the Lord. And so that, I think, is what is the great call to experience the Holy Spirit in their lives, the young lives, your life, old fellows like me, and so on. And to just. So that's what the hope of our. When we present these shows, it's by listening to regular person like yourself, or Cheryl, like, who works in the tribunal, or John, who works with Catholic Charities, or sisters, or whatever, the various people, that they're sharing their faith. And I know that, Donnie, you had a great experience yourself with sharing with your own faith and the thing that you shared when you, Donna was on one of the shows. She talked about her renewal in the faith. Maybe a brief.
Donna, first off, how do you produce a show that you're on? Are you putting on your own makeup?
No makeup. I passed on the makeup.
No, they every time I've ever been on TV, I used to do college football games live with Walt Gray from Channel. We was at Channel 3 at the time, and you'd have to get to the game about 3 hours ahead of time, mm-hmm. And then you do kind of the pregame stuff, and you'd the producers would be telling you this and that, and how are we going to do this, and then you'd do the makeup, and they'd always say, Bob's forehead is glowing. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, it's my halo, But they'd powder it, and they'd powder it because it would be too bright on TV. And they could have just said it was greasy, but that wouldn't have been very kind. So they just said it's too bright. And when I was on your show, it was the same thing. You're powdering my forehead.
It's just
my forehead has gotten larger over the years too.
I know. Problem with reflection from the spotlights,
yes,
and so on. That's what causes problems. Yeah. So Father, you were asking about my. It's true that when you come to that point of really, accepting, not accepting, but being convinced by all the proof and realizing how that that it's true and that it's incredible and it changes your life entirely, and so that's kind of what he's talking about, is that it just changed my life entirely. I was really going to church, but there was a big difference between kind of going to church and really, digging deep into your faith and understanding understanding the truth of it and understanding the theology. Not that I understand it all, but just the, such an impact. And I would wish that for everyone, that they could feel that
way
about their faith.
Were you riding a donkey, got struck by lightning?
not exactly. It was really through, actually it was loss of my husband that kind of, was probably the turning point I think when you're in grief, you're in, all the normal crutches and things that you have in life. And I shouldn't say crutches, that's probably not a good word, but all the things that you normally seem important, are totally unimportant. And I think God has a way of just sort of, he's able to get your attention in a way that usually we're too preoccupied with ridiculous things,
mundane
for the most
stuff,
part, right? Yeah. We can't even hear him speak to us. So anyway, I'm very delighted that happened, and it changed my sorrows into dancing. I think that was even in the divine office this morning. Whenever I hear that, it resonates with me. So anyway.
So as a producer, how do you, have a favorite guest that you've had? And I mean, they're all different, and some of them probably are very nervous, I would think.
I am surprised at how relaxed and how just confident. When you're speaking about God, yeah. I think, that's something that's very true. You're not, it's just not something that you're trying to get the right answer, because the right answer is the answer that's part of you. I can't say that there's an exactly a favorite, because they all, even the ones that maybe are not as exciting, there's a lot of beauty. And that's what I say when I get to listen to them in a way that most people don't have the time to. And it's very touching to hear how faith has, how their lives are intertwined with God and the works of the church, and how the many, many ministries there are out there. So that's kind of one of the things we hope, too, that people will, not only hear the witness of other people talking about their faith, but maybe learn how to be more comfortable speaking about the faith themselves to family and friends, because I think that's difficult for a lot of us.
Right.
And then to hear about the different ministries that there are and the great satisfaction that people have in being part of them.
Yeah, I think the one thing that just always impresses me about the church, and one of many things that makes me proud to be Catholic, is all the different ministries. And then I look at Catholic Charities and all the different programs. I'm looking at something here from Father Healy, the HIV AIDS ministry, you know, and a lot of people say, the Catholic Church has an AIDS ministry? Really? You know, and it's just remarkable. There's, I mean, when you think of the, like the annual Catholic appeal, and then you see the brochure listing all the things that will be, occasionally I get into these discussions with people about that want to attack the church, and I'll say, okay, let's just imagine the Catholic Church never existed, just never. Especially, let's just take Northern California, just the Diocese of Sacramento, no Catholic Church. Do you know how many people, Catholic, non-Catholic, no faith at all, would be hurting, who are now taken care of, in, whether it's hospitals, whether it's schools, whether it's food, whether it's AIDS ministry, that we provide a safety net that nobody else is providing. The government knows it. They know if the Catholic Church disappeared tomorrow, wow. They first off, you'd have the public schools would have to add some portable units real fast.
Yes,
the hospitals would be overrun with people. The food banks would be, there wouldn't be any food banks. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. And those are just a few of the things. We have programs for immigrants and seniors and helping people on the path to citizenship and teaching them English. And it's mind-boggling.
Well, it is, and also just the regular parish life. It's amazing the number of people who go to, for instance, morning mass.
Mm-hmm.
And what a lovely way to start off your morning. Most masses are 8 or 8:30. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do stuff, and either they go out to coffee or breakfast or something with some friends, or they stay at the church and they fold papers,
right,
or they clean, or they do a whole bunch of. And so it gives them a great sense of family. And I know Donna here is very involved in programs down at the cathedral. The people there, I mean, they wouldn't have it any other way. It's not that they're doing great work alone, but the personal satisfaction and the,
right,
and the joy. And, of course, we saw that the other day with the Run for the Hungry,
right,
organized by the bishop and his Catholic charities and Sacramento Food Bank, which is a very important part of Catholic Charities organization and supported strongly by Bishop Soto. So we have that. And you mentioned the AIDS there. There's a new article out on that, but I had known for years that Cardinal John O'Connor, mm-hmm, who was an old Air Force man, you know,
right,
and he was firm and clear on the concept, but he was considered, you know, to be,
right,
a strong New Yorker,
right,
with all the consequences that,
right,
has.
Right.
But he used to go and from 11 to 1 or 11 to 2 in the night work at a AIDS place, basically cleaning out the rooms and so on, to get them ready for the next day.
I think a lot of people wouldn't believe that story.
They wouldn't. And
yeah,
it's been now more brought out in the last, I saw about a month ago, I think they're doing something of an article or even a movie on it, but he kept it real quiet, of course, all during the time.
Sure.
So here's this cardinal going in and he scrubs to do all his work and in quietly, nobody sees him coming in and,
right,
nobody sees him going out, and away he goes. So I think there's an awful lot of our people who are doing a variety of things like that. And so when you mention the church, but again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier and what Donna was saying about, you know, our own faith and taking possession of it and seeing this as the greatest gift. Now, we know that people do this in regard to their careers. You know, you probably get great joy and satisfaction out of the talents God has given you as an interviewer, and that's,
absolutely,
who you're called to be. Somebody else can get enormous out of being a musician or being a poet or a playwright or an artist. So God gives us these gifts, as it were, to enrich our lives, but I think if we can bring them into our faith and see all that we do that's good as the work of God, then it's not just that you're stuck here for these,
right,
several hours, you know, enduring having to be here, but now that you're using the talents God has given you. And
yeah,
Donna goes over today for to do something at the cathedral for the poor. That's the gift and blessing she has. I'll be hearing confessions and doing the cathedral mass at noon today at the cathedral. So that's my little contribution. And that everyone is, what we're doing is, you know, this is now and then something else an hour from now and 3 hours from now, and throughout this evening I'll be at the dinner and readying for the charities. So it's all God's work. Yeah. And God is with us from the moment you get up in the morning till you go to bed at night. And even then, though there is always the great story, of course, of Pope John the 23rd, who had the humorous remark that God, your Pope is going to bed now. You're in charge of the church until morning. So, a very interesting theological concept. But again, that we're all doing the work of God. I think a lot of our people probably don't see it that particular way, whether it's in their stewardship giving or anything they do. That, as the Lord says, even a cup of cold water given in my name does not go without its reward. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be a big thing you do.
Right.
Just do what you can. And we know that the great saints, you know, talked about that even if you were incapacitated tomorrow and you can't do this job anymore, you can't do anything, and maybe you're confined to bed, maybe those could be the most productive years of your life as you pray and live and serve in that capacity. Very different than the present.
The little things. Mother Teresa, the little things. Just do the little things with whoever you encounter. I can't tell you how many times I tell my wife what a joy it is to come in here and do a radio show for the church. Mm-hmm. You know, I never imagined that as I was growing up. Never imagined it as I was in the media it's just it's a complete joy, and it isn't something I even thought about. In fact, when I was first contacted by Bishop Wiegand to consider doing this, I said, "What are you?" I'm just an ordinary Catholic sitting at the back of the church, you know. And he said, "Well, you've got a lot of radio experience, and we'd like to talk to you," you know. And I thought it was like that bolt of lightning, you know, like boy, where did this come from? But how do I say no? I didn't want to say no, but it's the kind of opportunity as a Catholic that you think, what a gift! What a great opportunity!
Yeah, and you had hair then and everything.
I know. it's been very stressful. Yeah, Donna, how was I as a guest? I mean, ahead of time, prepping me.
Oh, you were perfect. I have no complaints. I wouldn't want to say anything like that. No, you were great. But the subject of ministries, though, is so important, because a lot of people really have a lot. They don't realize how easy it is to be to become more involved in their parish, and all of a sudden they have a group of friends, mm-hmm. and it's just, you know, there are people who complain that, you know, people are not, you know, they don't feel welcome to the church. But the minute you step inside a ministry, you know, I think your perspective changes entirely. And so I would encourage anyone feeling that way to become more involved in
their
church.
And if there are things that you feel are lacking in your parish, there's no law says you can't start a ministry, you know, and talk to your pastor and say, you know, I know my sister at St. Mary's in Vacaville. Her husband died suddenly, unexpectedly, a number of years ago. She had no idea they had a bereavement ministry. Mm-hmm. And she talks about it to this day, how much they helped her through that. You know, the immediate stuff, all that stuff that has to be taken care of, but then they were always there for her. I know when my mom was dying, and the ladies that would come from St. James and pray the rosary with her, even though she couldn't pray it like she used to, it just meant so much to her, you know. And just these small ministries, if you will, that are just so important. So and sometimes you'll hear that, well, I don't think the church does anything but pass the plate, you know. And he said, no, well, you're just showing up for mass, you know, go eat some pancakes with the Knights of Columbus and mm-hmm. and or go talk to the guy at the card table that's from St. Vincent de Paul, or any of these other groups out there, and you'll find there's lots of places for you. I mean, they still need catechism teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we actually was just at a training not too long ago at the diocese, and the instructor said the philosophy that one of his favorite teachers had was that you know, who is God sending me to love today? So if you approach your day with that in mind, when you go to some function at the church or something, and you're waiting for people to come and show you, it's the other way around. You know, how about you stepping out and showing love to someone who's feeling the way you are feeling? And all of a sudden, you know, things change in the way you perceive the world and the church too, as well. So,
absolutely. Yeah. You know, the one thing that I always we've got. Four teenagers in the house right now, and all very, very kind of aware of what's going on in the world, and all have their own opinions, and one of them's a vegetarian, and one of, you know, they're doing their own thing, and that they think is making the places a better world, and yet they get concerned about all these issues out there, the global warming and all the political stuff that's going on now, all the anger and the hatred, and where's our country going, and I always my final comeback is, I say, just remember, you guys, God's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
God's in charge. God's still in charge. He's sometimes you may think, because you get down, you start trying to till the soil yourself and come up with all the solutions, let's trust God.
Well, that's so important, and but of course, while it's wonderful that God is in charge and does all this wonderful thing, and God is in charge forever and will be in charge forever, but still we do have to jump in ourselves.
That's right.
And use the talents that God has given us. We obviously want to be humble about, you know, it can't be blowing off that I'm the greatest person ever was. But on the other hand, sometimes it can be a cop-out to suggest that I don't have any talents.
Yes.
And so therefore I'm going to leave it to you
That's
and so
right.
on and so on, and let somebody else pull it. But I'm going to just stay in my own comfort zone, right. And so on. So I think in every area, in the church and in the society, we have the obligation to... bring the faith to the situation that we're in, and not to be afraid. And as you said earlier, everybody should examine the ministries in their parish. I mean, you can get the little brochure at every parish. It just amazes me how I've been to every parish in the diocese over the years, and some of them I know them so well. But the great people that are in the parishes, and also the fact that, like you mentioned about the bereavement committee, but there's almost nothing that you wouldn't get if you need it in regard to service, whether you're
right.
young or middle-aged or old, married, single, whatever it is. And in general, I would say almost completely, when I go to the parishes or I talk to staff at the parishes, as well as the priests and the staff, they're just so kind and professional and good and so on. I was at a funeral out at Calvary Cemetery just a couple of days ago, and I know I was impressed, but also the family of the deceased were so delighted with everything that was done and the skills and goodness of the mm-hmm. people. This morning I was over at Mercy Hospital for doing an anointing for an old man who was literally dying as I walked into the room. He just died right there. But his whole family, Hispanic family, were around him. But the hospital had called me twice in about 20 minutes to, first of all, come. And then, where are you?
Yeah.
Get over here. So
park in the tollway zone. Just get
yeah,
in here.
So, yeah. Again, the spirit of, you know, caring. And I ran into one of the sisters that was coming out and so on and so on. And we're done with that. So there's a lot of beautiful things in the church. And also, of course, in the church today, as hopefully always, but certainly today, we have not only the right, but the obligation to talk to our pastors and our priests and encourage them to do greater things, and also to suggest to them that maybe certain things are not being done and are not being done as well. And just like everybody has an opportunity, yourself or Donna or any of us, the people out in the parishes, to in some way communicate with the bishop and to share with him both insights and positives and negatives, right. Because, again, we're all in this together. By the way, if you get a chance to look at yesterday, there was a streamline of the conference of the now acting Bishop of Buffalo.
Yes.
With this great German name, I believe it is. But he was, I've never seen anything as good as that. I mean, this guy stood up there for an hour and talked about the problems and the newspaper people hit him with this, that, and the other. And one thing that we asked was, well, now that you're here, what are you going to do about it? And he said, only got here. Not going to do anything about it. He said, we're all going to do it together. He said, we're a family here. And he said, we're a hurting family and we're a healing. We have to be healed. And so I think that's true in all the areas that he's inviting everybody to be involved. And while thank God we don't have any of the problems like that here, still, there's always stuff. And that the people of the church, every one of them, has their right to say. Yeah. And we do know that, you know, St. Vincent de Paul founder, Frederick Rosenman, was a layman. He wasn't.
Right.
And so there's all sorts of great people who come forward. So please, brothers and sisters out there in our diocese, in our parish, don't be shy. It's great to be humble, but on the other hand, don't hide your talent under a bushel basket. Put it out there and come forward and run up to your priest next Sunday and say, I'm here, Father. What can I do to help the parish? And that may be God speaking to you. And so we're...
You know, Frederick Osman, you make a point that I've always tried to make with my kids and anybody who will listen to me is he didn't plan on this giant being the CEO of St. Vincent de Paul, and this is going to be a worldwide organization that helped people. He was just trying to take care of a situation in France at the time.
That he actually was forced into because of the fact that he had a good position and he was a very strong Catholic man. And some people came to him who were not Catholic and who were very opposed to the church and said, ha ha, easy for you.
Put up
your big shot.
Up.
Yeah. But you talk about this, but you don't do anything. Look at all the poor that's around here.
Right.
What are you doing?
Right.
And he said, wow, what am I doing is right. And he put together his friends, and as I say, the rest is history.
Yeah.
So that could happen for ourselves here, that we have to ask, what is God calling to me to do today and tomorrow? And no matter who you are, just...
It doesn't have to be a grand plan. And I think sometimes there's too much of that, like, oh, the homeless thing, it's too big. It's too... So many people are trying, and it just gets worse and worse. Just take care of one homeless person. Just, you know... Donna?
Well, was it Mother Teresa said, you know, someone had complained about the same thing. You're not really helping that many. And she said, well, it made a difference to the one.
To the one.
And we at the cathedral, we have quite a program with our ministries and actually our fundraisers the first weekend of December. But we give out, I think, something on the plan of 40,000 lunches every year. And just the brown bag ministry in the mornings, we have from 90 to 144 people that will come and take a bag lunch from us. And we're happy to minister to them. And we're hoping that our presence, you know, there gives them some bit of a bright spot in their day besides the food, but just, you know, the fact that there are people that are willing to help them. So, and, you know, it's especially this time of year, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of opportunities for people to become involved and do things for the less fortunate, because we certainly are called to do that. And
I'm around the cathedral there a fair bit, and I'm always amazed, you know, the people who will ask for Father Michael, the rector, and they know him, Father Michael O'Reilly.
Right.
And sometimes I see him sitting out on the steps there just talking to people, to most people don't care about or talk to. So I think the program that Donna's talking about for the homeless, and then the brown bag lunches, and also that, you know, if you're poor or not well kept or whatever, the cathedral is as much your place as it is anybody else's. And you can go in there and sit down for an hour or whatever it is in the pew, and maybe you're praying or maybe you're whatever, but you're in out of the elements and you're so on. And that can be throughout the day. So again, a place of refuge, a place of respect. And when people, you know, when we're there as priests getting ready for Mass, doesn't matter whether it's the governor that comes up to say hello to you or some person right there in the street, they're a child of God.
Oh, indeed. Now, you had Father Spitzer on your program.
Yes.
Was that when he was up here for ministry days? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you had him in person. What was he like? I have interviewed him numerous times over the years, and I've just always been fascinated by it. I just think he's an incredibly interesting person. What's he like?
Oh, well, absolutely interesting, as you say. And he was very, I think, relaxed and personal on the show. As a matter of fact, my sister had watched it, and she said that it, you know, he was sort of more, more personable, I guess, again, than like on his, he has so many shows, EW2N, sure. The Spitzer's Universe, and so on. But she
and
found
he's a teacher, so he's used to sort of lecturing almost.
Yeah. But no, I think it was a great experience and wonderful for people to be able to listen to this man. And the I heard ministry, I didn't realize that he had the Credible Catholic, right. Which is a great effort at trying to help young people see that science and faith and science are compatible. And
the last time we talked, he was talking scientifically about the Shroud of Turin, you know, and just with passion.
It was
fast. I mean, I wanted to go home and read everything he'd written about it. I mean, it wasn't, that's not one of the things I care greatly about. If it is, if it's not, it isn't going to change my faith. But he was just so passionate about it.
Yeah.
I thought that's what a good teacher does.
Yeah, and passionate, and he doesn't have notes in front of him. You know, it's like this is all from memory. It's just ingrained in him, and he's quite phenomenal.
And he did make the great point, which I think is so important for our people today, is, you know, as Donna said, the connection between faith and science, and that they're not fighting each other at all, and that the church actually has always been a great promoter of science and has one of the greatest records of seeking. You know, we had the feast not too long ago of St. Albert the Great, mm-hmm. and his connection of Aristotle and faith and so on, and ever since we've had that. But today there is an unfortunate situation where somebody says, well, I don't believe in any of that faith stuff, that's all makeup, but I'm into science, and I know science will tell me this and science will tell me that. And certainly science has done a great deal for us, and we wouldn't have the technology we have, only that all has been done over even the space travels and so on have made many things. But on the other hand, as he would say, science can't give you ultimate answers to ultimate things in the world, you know. We can work closely, and we're always anxious to promote things medically and what science will help us to better medications and so on. But the faith, and so I think brothers and sisters out there in the parishes and our church family, very easy for young people to be tricked into, you know, thinking that faith is not much and science is everything. But I think if they can give some thought to it, and they will, because of the fact that people in our, generally speaking, pretty smart. Right. And there's times and so on when maybe things aren't as good as they could be. But this too, like we said earlier in the program, will turn, and people will realize that God, as you say, is in charge, and there's the whole plan of God. And I may not be into it very much now because I'm 16 or 25 or whatever it is, or maybe I'm so busy with my life or whatever it is, or maybe all this computer stuff and everything, social media, and I'm all into that. But sometimes you may get asked some fundamental questions, like as Donna had that experience when her husband died, or as others have, you know, where you suddenly discover you have cancer or whatever it might be in your life. And then you begin to ask some fundamental questions. What's it all about? And I think we'll see that happen. And Paula Spitzer is a wonderful presenter of that. But the guests we've had on have all brought their own beauty and goodness to it. We started off, actually, our first show pretty much was deliberately two young people. We had two teenagers from the beautiful parish of Our Lady of Assumption. Mm-hmm. And they came and sat down and talked about their faith and what it meant to them. And they were very articulate. We probably should have them back again and see how they're doing now, because that was 2 years ago almost, and that's a lifetime in the life of young people.
Sure.
So maybe we'll do a little tracking on how they're doing. But that's all the good stuff that's going on. And we hope that people, everybody, wherever you are, folks, go to your YouTube. It may be easier to go to your YouTube than actually the television thing, because television only is in the greater Sacramento area.
Right.
But whether you're in New Zealand listening to this show,
yes,
whether you're in China,
you can get your... Gabe's nodding his head, thanks. Yes, we have listeners in New Zealand.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful when it's a podcast? It's just, it can be, anybody can pick it up anywhere for free.
Yeah. And if you do happen to see it, don't be afraid to share it with a friend and encourage them to. And again, it could be God speaking. I mean, there's a million wonderful things out there, like Bishop Barron and all sorts of things far superior to anything we have. But on the other hand, sometimes God speaks to small things. And at least for our diocese here in the greater Sacramento North and so on, it's people who they, in a sense, would be able to relate to because they're from this part of the world. And so maybe if the like of Rita Spillane or these young people that I mentioned, or the Sister Jenny, whom everybody knows from the cathedral, that that person might be a more credible witness even than somebody speaking from Tennessee or wherever.
Sure.
So that's what we're hoping, folks, that you'll find the TV show, Catholic Viewpoint, Faith, Hope, and Love, a blessing for your life. And if you'd ever like to be on the show, then you can always contact us and so on and so on. Bob here knows where we are.
Yes.
And you never know what we'll be able to do.
Well, here it is coming from the capital city of the most populous state of the most powerful country in the world. You think, you mentioned Tennessee or Arkansas or any place else. California's magic. And here you are in the capital city, and it's a capital city named after the Blessed Sacrament.
Well,
I mean, people somewhere else are going, wow, this is from Sacramento. Whoa.
Speaking of that, I'm also a docent.
About 1 minute.
Oh,
go ahead.
Just a docent, and I always point that out, that cartouche in the entrance of the church that says how the river was named after the Blessed Sacrament and the city and the church.
Yes.
So it's been a light to be with you this morning, Bob, and with all of your listeners, and just have the greatest respect for people I've been doing this now in the diocese for 47 years. So seen a lot and met marvelous people. And don't worry yourselves, folks. God is in charge, like Bob said. God loves you. God is full of mercy and compassion for all of us. And so just be open to what God is doing in our lives. And, you know, that little bumper sticker, be patient. God is not finished with me yet. So whatever your age may be, young or old, God has plans. So I would just say a little brief prayer then of blessing for our people. Lord God, bless us on this Advent season. Help us to continue to grow in faith, hope, and love. Help us to find ways to develop our faith so that we may be more fully able to respond to the call of Jesus. Bless us and keep us holy in the wonderful Christmas season that lies before us. And in all that we do, we build up our faith, build up our church, and serve God with all our hearts. And may Almighty God bless us and keep us safe in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Kiernan, Donna, thanks so much. That'll do it for us for today. God bless.